The reading today is taken from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. Please follow along on the screen. Luke, chapter 24, verses 13 to 34. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. They were saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon.'" And this is the word of the Lord.
Almighty God, may your written word be our rule, your Holy Spirit our teacher, and your glory our supreme concern. Amen. First off, thank you for coming to church during the Hong Kong Sevens. You are to be commended. Well done, good and faithful servant. Winners and losers. Athletics, keeping score is really important, and we want to be on the winning team, not the losing team. Two of our members got married yesterday, and the guy is from Manchester. And he was a little nervous about the wedding, but even more nervous about the outcome of the Man City, Man U game later that evening. And the bridal party was divided in loyalties. You know, some people have to win, some people have to lose. Well, the people that we're talking about today were on the losing side. We don't know how long. They weren't part of the inner circle of the disciples, but they were followers of Jesus. And they had put their hopes and dreams in Jesus. And as we read, they first of all realized he was a teacher. And then he said things that made him seem as a prophet. And then he did wonderful deeds, miracles. and wonderful teachings, wonderful words, and they must have said, could it be? Could he be the Messiah? The one who will throw out Rome, restore Israel to all its glory, reform the corrupt religious establishment? Could Jesus be the one? But then Jesus was crucified. And so here are two followers of Jesus heading for the hills, literally. They're leaving Jerusalem on the way to Galilee, heading home to Emmaus, a village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. Now, one is named Cleopas, very unusual name. In the Gospel of John, there's a Clopas who's married to Mary. And so some speculate that Cleopas and his wife, Mary, were these followers that Luke talks about in chapter 24. Could have been a married couple, could have been two disciples, we don't know. But we do know they were walking along the road reflecting on their defeat. I'm going to read from the Message, a contemporary translation that gives us a kind of a dynamic equivalent of what it must have been like, this encounter with Jesus. They were in deep conversation, going over all the things that had happened. In the middle of their talk and questions, Jesus came up and walked along with them, but they were not able to recognize who he was. We sang about open the eyes of my heart, but they were blind to Jesus. And I want to stop here. And at the 8:45 service, we had some very animated discussion why they didn't recognize Jesus. And what I'd like you to do is turn to the person next to you, or if you just want to ponder this for a second, why do you think these two followers of Jesus didn't recognize him when he showed up? Just take a moment. Okay, I don't want you to discuss too long. Somebody did tell me one of the reasons the Hong Kong Sevens are so popular is they have short rugby matches, and short sermons might be a good thing. But this is almost, one person, one intriguing theory, I don't know if you've ever seen the show Undercover Boss, where the CEO of a corporation goes and just joins the assembly line or the where we're preparing food and whatever, and they're just disguised enough that the people who work for the CEO don't recognize him. And somebody said maybe it was kind of an undercover boss situation, and the Jesus was disguised. Someone else said you have to realize that Jesus was beaten repeatedly; he was crucified. He probably was in such poor shape that they didn't recognize him. Someone else went quite the other way on the spectrum and said this was the post-resurrection body of Jesus. It was a new body, and it was too glorious and too beautiful for them to realize. I don't know what you or your group decided, but I think it's very interesting that these followers did not recognize Jesus. One other person said they were just too blinded by grief and disappointment. But Jesus was walking with them, and they missed it. They were blinded. Jesus asked them, "What's this you're discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stood there, long face, like they had just lost their best friend. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, said, Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard what's happened during the last few days? Last night, one of my sons and I were hungry, and we went to get something to eat. And for just a moment, I thought, what if this was my first visit to Hong Kong? And I saw all these people in really weird costumes. There's something going on here. I don't know what the sevens are, but I'd be the only one in town who didn't know what the sevens are. That's sort of what these guys said. What do you mean? You're coming from Jerusalem. How do you not know what's going on? Jesus said, what's happened? They said, the things that happened to Jesus. He was a man of God, a prophet, dynamic in work and word, blessed by both God and all the people. Then our own high priests and leaders betrayed him, got him sentenced to death and crucified him. And all our hopes that he was the one to deliver Israel. And now it's the third day since it's happened. Man, listen to this accurate translation. But now some of our women have completely confused us. Early in the day, this day, because this was taking place on Easter, they were at the tomb and they couldn't find his body. They came back with a story that they had seen. Notice this, they came back with a story, something they made up, that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our friends went off to the tomb to check and found it empty, just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. And then something very special happens. I think this is the best small group Bible study that ever happened. They had followed Jesus. They had listened to Jesus. They had told him what had happened. And then Jesus says, you are so thick-headed and so slow-hearted. And that's a very accurate translation. It's a very hard word to translate. I think the RSV said slow-headed, slow-hearted rather, thick-headed, stupid, foolish. Well, that's a good way to get their attention. Why can't you simply believe what all the prophets said? Don't you see that these things had to happen, that the Messiah had to suffer and only then enter into his glory? And then Jesus started at the beginning with the book of Moses and went through all the prophets, pointing out everything in the scriptures that referred to him. What a small group Bible study that would have been. I would love to have been there. And Luke doesn't record what passages from the Old Testament, but it wasn't just a bunch of proof texts. He started in Genesis and went all the way through the law and the prophets. I'm sorry I don't know the name of this very remote area in Peru, but explorers in the late 19th, early 20th century found some very unique rock formations that looked like they'd been placed by human beings rather than natural. But it wasn't until 1939 that archaeologists flew over this area and saw that they were actually connected. And from the air, you could see fish and animal pictures. On the ground, it was just random stones. From the air, it was a picture. And there was so much of the Old Testament, and we get confused when we read the Old Testament, don't we? When I was in London, I had a rabbi friend who said, Greg, stick to the New Testament. Let us have our Bible. And a lot of Christians follow my rabbi friend's advice. We kind of ignore the Old Testament. But it's interesting what Jesus did from the beginning to the end of the Old Testament. He weaved this narrative, this amazing story, that how he was indeed the hope of Israel, but more than Israel, he was the hope of all of us. Can I quote from C.S. Lewis if I keep it rather brief? Okay. Wonderful book called Reflections on the Psalms, and one of the reasons Lewis wrote this book is to get Christians to read the Old Testament. But he talks about the passage before us today. On the famous journey to Emmaus, Jesus found fault with his two disciples for not believing what the prophets said. They ought to have known from their Bibles that the Anointed One, when he came, would enter his glory through suffering. Then he explained from Moses down all the places of the Old Testament concerning himself. He clearly identified himself with a figure often mentioned in the Scriptures, appropriated to himself many passages where a modern scholar might see no such reference. Picking up on this, Christopher Wright and N.T. Wright have written magnificent volumes about the importance of the Old Testament for the Christian. But N.T. Wright particularly says the followers of Jesus missed the whole suffering servant motif. You see, we're people who we want victory, not defeat. And most of us do not want to be humiliated. We want to be exalted. But when you go back and read the Old Testament the way Jesus read the Old Testament, you'll see that he is there on every page. The great theologian Bonhoeffer talks about the Christ of the Psalms and the Old Testament. And we don't know all that was said, but the followers of Jesus said, our hearts burned within us. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, talked about his heart being strangely warmed. But if we're really honest, when we read the Old Testament, our hearts are cold. They're slow-hearted. We don't get the big picture. But that day, these two disciples got the big picture. And they realized how critically important the Bible was. And then they got to Emmaus, and Jesus said, well, I'm going to keep on going. And they said, no, don't go. Come on in. There they sat down, and they had a meal, just like we're going to have in just a minute. And when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were opened, and they saw him for who he was, and then he vanished. And they got up and they ran back to Jerusalem, back to the scene of their defeat, to tell the other disciples what the other disciples had found out themselves, that he is risen, he is alive. And the problem with the disciples of Jesus and the problem that I have is I set my expectations way too low. I expect Jesus to act in a certain way, and he doesn't always act in the way that I would like him to act, but when he acts, he does it far beyond anything I could pray for or hope for. And these confused disciples formed this church that transformed the world. And I don't have time to go into details, but my heart was put on fire this week because I had the chance to go to the Shekinah Bible College for their graduation. And we have a whole bunch of unsung heroes at Union Church, 30 of the students there are on scholarship. Sorry, 60 of the students who are there, 30 of the graduates, were on scholarships provided for by Union Church members. And I have not met such a group of young Christians in a very long time. And they have a passion when they graduate to go to what they call the IPs, the indigenous peoples, the tribal peoples in the mountains, and share the gospel. And Jesus Christ is being proclaimed throughout the Philippines in spectacular fashion by these young people completely sold out to Jesus Christ. They are burning. And I felt blind, thick-headed, and slow-hearted. I said, wow. Open up your eyes, Greg, to the opportunities right around you. Well, Jesus appeared, Jesus disappeared, and then his disciples got together in community, and then they went out in mission. Well, we all understand the importance of Scripture. I think most of us understand the importance of the sacrament of communion. But I remember the first church I served, there was a big debate whether kids should be allowed to take communion. The church boards argued about it, papers were written, discussions were had, but there was one couple that I knew, and the mother said, I want John to take communion, and the dad says, no, John is too young. He doesn't really understand. But being wise, the husband gave in to his wife, and little Johnny had communion. But my friend wanted to quiz his son afterwards just to see what he really understood about communion. So he said, John, what happened after the sermon in church today? And this six-year-old boy says, I had lunch with God. That's pretty good. And that's the opportunity we have. This Jesus was not a failed revolutionary. He was the worthy lamb who took upon your sins. He died and rose again. And through Scripture, and through the Lord's Supper, and through baptism, and through being together just talking, Jesus Christ is present in ways that will transform your lives. Let's celebrate that fact with communion.